Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Oh, away we go. That's right, it is perhaps the last Feel Good Football Friday, sort of the year. A divisional playoff heading to Detroit. Feel Good Football Friday in the nation's capital and beyond. Of course, always live and free on the Odyssey app. What is up? Flying solo today on this side of the glass, but Matty Ice is with us as normal on the other side of the glass, so make sure you say hello to him when you call in at 301-230-0980. We'll have a little more time for your calls today because there'll be a little less hot air in the studio today, which is a good thing, even though you might not view it a good thing. Trust me, it is viewed as a good thing, just like the Commanders being in the divisional playoff round, which... For most normal organizations, one playoff win doesn't mean a whole lot, right? The ultimate goal is to get to the Super Bowl. The ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl. And true that. That is the case. That will be the case.
Sure.
That is going to be the case, whether it's this year or next year. And they would obviously tell you it's this year. Now, realistically, I would tell you it's not this year, even though we're here. But that's okay. You might as well shoot for the frickin' stars while you've got a chance, because the chance is not guaranteed to come around every year. The chance is not guaranteed. So you might as well go balls to the wall. You might as well do what Dan Quinn did on Sunday night, and that's slap the old grapefruits and the Vidalias right on the table, baby, and say, take that. Let's go. Let's freaking go. And off to Detroit, they are going. We'll be with you until 4 o'clock, as always, today from here in D.C. Tomorrow afternoon, pending the weather gods and the travel gods, I'll be with you from 3 to 6 in the afternoon from Ford Field in Detroit. And, of course, we have special pregame coverage in addition to, again, that particular show that I just mentioned. You can join the Denton Day and, as well, Linnell Willingham, where? At Honor Brewing Company in Sterling, Virginia. That's 42604 Trade West Drive for the Burgundy and Gold pregame show right here on the Team 980 beginning at 6 o'clock right after me. We'll get you hyped for the Commanders and the Lions. Again, that's Honor Brewing Company in Sterling, Virginia at 42604 Trade West Drive. Just also got word that Santana Moss is on the ground in Detroit and will join us. Don't have an exact time, just got to navigate that, but probably here in this hour so that we don't keep him tied up. So I always appreciate him joining us. We had London Fletcher on earlier this week. We don't do a lot of guests. We don't do a lot of, you know, any of that. We pride ourselves on what we know and what we think and mixing in you guys when times are appropriate. We don't do a lot of guest-driven radio, but we love our guys, right? And Santana Moss is one of our guys, and we always appreciate him making available for us, as did London Fletcher earlier this week. And then we obviously mix in the co-hosts and the callers as we do throughout the week. So that will come up. Maddie, before we get into the show, I got rejected this afternoon on the way in for Tom Brady.
Can you explain yourself a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yesterday morning, I put in a request for Tom Brady. And I said, if Tom's not available, because he's calling the game for Fox tomorrow night, I said, if Tom's not available, I'll be in the press box from 3 to 6 if he wants to come on over or call in 1 to 4. I'll do anything, you know, possible. If Tom's not available, I would settle for Aaron Andrews or Tom Rinaldi or Kevin Burkhardt, also from the Fox crew. And, I was told on the way in, sorry, but they're a little bit busy with the Lions today, and then they meet with the Commanders tonight at the team hotel. And, you know, so I was rejected officially, I think for the first time, I think, by Tom Brady. Not by Tom Brady. For Tom Brady.
Wow, did you hear that?
Yeah. Tom's got a vicious right-handed chop, kind of like Gunther from WWE. Anyway, so that's the deal on that. So we'll get Santana Moss across and on the board here in just a wee little bit. Stay tuned for that. Couple of things that I wanted to open up with. Listen, I know the Commanders / Redskins / football teamers have dominated the regular season series and the postseason series. Everybody knows what happened in the conference championship game. What is that now? 33 years ago. Everybody understands, you know, history and stats and all that stuff and trends tell us something. They don't tell us everything. And oftentimes they don't tell us the real thing. And that's okay, right? That's okay. It's just part of the mix. It's part of the puzzle. But I stumbled across this last night when I was kind of doing research for the show and trying to think about how to be creatively different, which we always strive to do. We got to talk about the same thing, but we try and do it in a different way each and every day so that it's interesting or different for you guys and for us. As far as I know, this is still very accurate. Unless I'm missing something based on my research. But Sporting News, Vinny Iyer helped me out with one part of it, and then I was able to put the other part together. During the 2022 playoffs, we are now in the 2025 playoffs, so there's been two playoffs in between now and then. During the 2022 playoffs, both the Green Bay Packers and the Tennessee Titans were number one seeds. And they both lost in the divisional round. And overall, if you look at the numbers, 28 point, this is according to the Sporting News and Vinny Iyer, 28.1% of top seeds, 18 of 64, have failed to win a playoff game since 1990. In 1990, Matt, were you even alive then? No, right?
Nope.
Okay. In 1990, your boy was a junior in high school. So that's a long time ago. By my math, and I'm not a mathematician, it's 2025 now. That's 35 years,
yep,
maybe 35 it's 34
years.
And a half years, depending on when you're starting, you know, whatever. Just call it 35 years. In 35 years, 18 top seeds. Now, that's one seeds. Remember, up until, 4 years ago, we used to have two teams with a bye. But that's top seeds, number one seeds. And in 2022, like I just mentioned, the Green Bay Packers and the Tennessee Titans were both number one seeds and lost at home in the divisional round of the playoffs. Where are we tomorrow night? At Ford Field in Detroit. We're not at Northwest Stadium. Therefore, the Detroit Lions, who are the one seed, are playing in the divisional playoffs at home in their first playoff game. The last time a one seed, and they are a one seed, lost in the divisional round at home in the NFL playoffs was not that long ago, 3 years ago. And it happened twice in the same year. And Tennessee's really never recovered. The Packers have, but they're already eliminated. So the notion that it can't happen is absurd. The notion that it will happen is too aggressive. But has it happened? Yeah, it's happened, and it's happened quite a bit more than I thought it did. Quite honestly. And some of that is Dallas. Some of that is in the AFC, like the Indianapolis Colts were always good under Peyton Manning. You know, like, you know, he does all those silly commercials canvassing Peyton Manning, planning Peyton Manning, whatever. I mean, I used to call him choking Peyton Manning because they'd kill everybody during the regular season and then they'd drop a big load in their underwear in the divisional playoffs when they actually went against a real defensive team. You know, the Steelers, the Chargers, the Broncos, what have you. But you don't have to look very far to get to the last time, 2022. So I think most of you all feel that it is possible. If this goes right, and if that goes right, and if this goes right, and if that goes right. And that's a lot of ifs, and that's a lot of maybes, and a lot of things that have to go right. Guess what? That's the NFL playoffs. That's any playoff. That's any time you get to the end of the season and you're playing for something bigger than you ever have or you have up until that point in that particular season. And what I mean by that is we all know that last week's game was a huge game. But this week's game is even bigger, obviously. Duh, he said. And the stakes are not only higher, but also the level of competition is higher. And that's where the rubber meets the road. I'm telling you this. Many of you think the Commanders played good last Sunday night. I would say they played pretty good. Not great, not very good, pretty good. They're going to have to be really good. You don't have to be perfect. They're going to have to be really good tomorrow night. Really good. And consistent for 60 minutes. Again, nobody expects perfection. There really is no such thing as a 60-minute performance that you don't have a lull or something in, right? So nobody should be expecting that. But if last Sunday night was good, maybe on the high side, pretty good, tomorrow night has to be really good. Really good. So here's what I want to do to start the show. And I hope you'll join me at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Is we've got to figure out, or what I would like to do with you all, if you would join in, is how do we write the script? How do we get from point A to point B? How do we get to the conference championship game? How do you get to the winner's circle? How do you get to all of those moments that all of you have seen and taken in and smiled and cried and laughed and said, man, that's so cool. That's what it feels like to win at this level. Not win in week 2. Not win in week 11. Not win a game down the stretch that doesn't matter to anybody. That's what it feels like to win when it matters the most. And if last Sunday mattered a lot, and it did, this matters even more. So how do you get there? And that could be statistical. That could be, hey, man, I really think such and such. I got accused yesterday of giving all the answers, so I'm trying to leave you with options and choices. How do we get from 8-10 or so tomorrow night to being in a winning locker room at about 11:25, 11:30 Saturday night in Detroit? And on to the NFC Championship game, whether that be in Philadelphia or whether that be in Los Angeles. And obviously they wouldn't figure that out until Sunday late afternoon, early evening. The obvious answer is, well, Jaden Daniels has to be Superman. Jaden Daniels has to be great. Yes, we all understand that. Jaden Daniels can't stink. Jaden Daniels can't be unproductive. And we've seen a couple of times, you know, Dallas in the regular season, the first matchup for about 54 minutes, and then he came alive. Dallas in the first half at the end of the regular season, and then they chose to go to Mariota, and Mariota came alive. Philadelphia on the road, Thursday night, short week, end of a 17-18 week gauntlet. We've seen Jaden Daniels struggle. We've seen Jaden Daniels not be Superman. Not be great. But I think we would all respect and understand that Jaden Daniels has to be great. Has to be not 1 versus 53, but he has to be great. He has to be efficient like he was from the pocket the other night. You would like him to have more production running the football, right? What do you finish with, 36 yards, whatever it was? Last Sunday, getting outraced to the sideline by Levante David on the first drive of the game on the 3rd-and-2, right? You realize against a lesser defense that Jaden Daniels needs to be better running the football and more productive in that way. Now, of course, the big run, play, what have you, came against Kalijah Kancey in that 3rd-and-2 from the 19 spot that we've talked so much about this week. And that was only for 7 yards, but that was a top 5 play of the year because of what it meant, how it unfolded, where it put them, what it got them, clock, so on and so forth. It won them the game. So what has to happen outside of Jaden Daniels being very good to great? What will happen? What do you think will happen? Is it Zane Gonzalez again lining up for a game-winning field goal because Jaden and the offense controls the clock down the stretch and gives them an opportunity in a tied game, 27-27, with seconds remaining? Is it Jaden Daniels himself leading a game-winning or go-ahead touchdown drive and connecting to Zach Ertz? Or Terry McLaurin, or Tiami Brown, or somebody, not new, but somebody different. What about Austin Eckler? What about Brian Robinson? What is it? What is the game script, essentially? When you look into your football crystal ball, how this game might unfold, and how this game has to be won, how do you see it? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you want to drop me an X post, you can do so as well. At WrestleMania 621, that's at WrestleMania 621. How do you envision this game having to go? What has to happen in order for them to win? And again, the obvious aside is, yeah, Jaden Daniels needs to be great. I think we can all agree on that. So you can mention it, but is there another element of Jaden Daniels' game that you think has to happen? certainly to accentuate your call, your opinion, your thought, your analysis, your vision, what have you. Sure, go ahead. But I think we can all agree that Jaden Daniels has to be very good at the minimum, if not great. 301-230-0980, just getting started and underway on a feel-good divisional playoff football Friday. These don't happen very often around here, boys and girls. First time in a long time, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us right here on this Feel Good Football Friday, a divisional playoff football Friday. That's right. I kind of screwed up. Santana texted me back like almost an hour ago. I didn't see it because I was driving like a madman to get here on time. So I'm waiting on word confirmation from him on if we can still hook up and if he can still join us. He's already in Detroit for tomorrow night's divisional playoff round. So stay tuned for that. In between, we'll obviously get to your calls. If I had to come up with a game script, it would start with this. First possession, touchdown. Yeah, obviously, you want that. I think they need that. I think an 8-minute drive, a 7-minute drive where they get the natural run game going. And what I mean again by natural run game, Brian Robinson, Jeremy McNichols. If I doubt it, Chris Rodriguez is active. Chris Rodriguez, Austin Eckler. Maybe it takes a fourth down conversion. Not just the run. Nobody's suggesting that they should come out and just line it up and collide helmets and smash people in the chops and all that stuff. But if I had to, again, ideally draw it up, calm the crowd down a little bit, maybe put a seed of doubt in Detroit, a 7-0 lead is really, really important. Again, points are fine. Points are important. Touchdowns are more important. Scoring first is extremely important. Not the end-all be-all, but it's extremely important. And here's a topper to that. And I mentioned this yesterday. Ideally, you want to get up, like if you can get up 10-0, say late first quarter, and say Detroit, you force them into a couple of three and outs somehow, or you've stopped them. Maybe they made an initial first down or two, which happened a bunch in Tampa Bay, but then you bowed your back up and you got off the field. Now, again, they will go for it on fourth down in pretty much almost every spot, including on your side of, or their side of the field. So you're going to have to be aware of that, that just because you get a stop on third down, that ain't it. And they should be more than aware of that because their head coach has done that not all year, but a lot this year, and especially last Sunday night. And I loved what Dan Quinn said after the game last Sunday night. I missed this, but I saw it on somebody put like a video, like the team put together like a video collaboration. He said, "We were aggressive," and I'm loosely quoting, "We were aggressive, but not reckless." Matt, you do the show with me pretty much every day, right? What do I talk about all the time when it comes to football coaches and fourth downs and decisions and so on and so forth?
It's on the players.
Well, yes, but it's be aggressive. Aggressive is fine.
Yeah, be aggressive. Don't be
reckless. Yeah. And what do I mean by reckless? Reckless in general, right, is say you're at the Detroit 23-yard line and it's 4th and 11. I would go for the field goal. If it's 4th and 5, 4th and even 6, maybe you could talk me even into 4th and 7. I would go for it on 4th down. There's a difference between being aggressive and reckless. And Dan freaking Quinn told you we were aggressive, but not reckless. And I would assume that is going to be, again, part of the script tomorrow night. Aggressive, but not reckless. And if they can get up 10-0, and if the natural running game, which it should be reasonably okay, it's got to be better They're not taking on Yaya Diaby and Clancy and Cansey, Kalijah Cansey, and Vita Vea. They're not. They're not taking on Micah Parsons. There is no Aiden Hutchinson. There is no Aleem McNeil. Like, it should be better if you give me somehow a 7-10 lead, if you give me the early indication that I am going to be able to run the ball when I want, how I want, naturally, 30 times, 28 times, whatever the number ultimately winds up being. If you're going to tell me that, then I'm going to take that to the bank. That's the way you win this game. Not that you're guaranteed to win, but that's the way you win. Here's how you don't win: getting behind 10-0. Allowing a huge explosive to Jameson Williams on a deep post, something we've talked about several times this week. That's how you don't win, where they gobble up 60-some-odd yards in a snap of a finger. And you're like, oh, my God. And that place is an absolute hellish hornet's nest. And it already is going to be. That's why it's so important to kind of come out of the gate and to slow them down. You're not going to shut them up. Slow them down. All right, your call's coming up after a quick trending alert. We will do so. We're, again, efforting to get Santana Moss on the show in Detroit, but I was a little negligent in getting back to him. So hopefully we can still make that happen. Let's do the trending alert right here, right now. All right, the Commanders, as we mentioned, on the way to Detroit this afternoon for the divisional playoff round. We'll have extensive coverage for you tomorrow night, including me tomorrow afternoon, 3 to 6 on both 106.7 and the Team 980. I will be in Detroit at Ford Field and hosting a radio show, Graham. Meanwhile, Denton Day and Linnell Willingham will be at Honor Brewing in Sterling starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, and they'll take you right up until game time and kickoff of the divisional playoff. DOC and Toby on your way home from wherever you might be watching the game. Do it safely, obviously, or after the game, win or lose, well into Sunday morning, all part of our divisional playoff round coverage. Meanwhile, former Commanders defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio is a head coach again, but not exactly how you might think. In the European League of Football with the Paris Musketeers. And from college hoops, how about this? South Carolina's Dawn Staley, you know what she's done. Highest paid women's coach now after receiving a contract extension through the 2029-30 season. If it's approved by the Regent Board of Trustees and all of that, it would include an annual salary of $4 million and a total value of $25.25 million. And that's what's trending. And it is a feel-good football Friday, a divisional playoff feel-good football Friday. Yeah, baby. Good to have you with us. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Commanders off to Detroit, where we will be tomorrow afternoon. Join me at 3 o'clock. It might be me and Grant Paulson, but I'm not sure. Right now, it's kind of looking like me because of, some things. But we'll be high atop Ford Field. I haven't been to Ford Field in 10 years. It's been a long time. But I mean, that place is a hornet's nest. There is no doubt about that. 301-230-0980. We're asking you to basically look into your crystal ball, write the script, what has to happen, what should happen. We all understand Jaden Daniels has to be probably very good at the minimum. And we would say as a passer, certainly he was very good on Sunday night in Tampa. Terry with the big catch on the first drive. Diami with the touchdown to cap the long touchdown drive. Diami third and six on a crossing route over the middle on a cut-in route against the double spy. Terry on the fourth down. you know, Eckler on the screen to the left on that final drive. We know that Jaden was really good as a passer last Sunday night. Really efficient, accurate. That's what he's going to have to be. But I also think they're going to have to get more for him as a play extender, as a playmaker, than they did last Sunday night. Now, again, it's a different defense, so there should be those opportunities. We don't know, but there should be those opportunities. All right, let's get out to you on the phones and get you guys aboard. 301-230-0980. We start in the leadoff spot with Ronald in Greenbelt. Hello, Ronald. How are you?
Bruce, come here.
Ronald, what's going on, baby?
Listen, we all know Jaden can do it. He's going to keep us in the game regardless to a certain point. But I think, like last week when the guy recovered the fumble, that was a pivotal point for us. We need those type of plays, I think, to solidify us, even giving us a slight chance to stay in the game. It might come down to that. Dealing with a team having 33 points a game, they're going to look to sustain drives every day. And that fast track down there on Forest Field, those receivers are going to be like extra fast. So our DB is going to be going through, you know, we don't want our defense on the field for 40 minutes.
No,
no. We have to find the intangibles to win the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Appreciate you, Rooster.
Yeah, I appreciate you. I mean, I agree with you, Ronald. I mean, obviously, we said it last week. We'll say it again. They got the turnover in a huge – it wasn't only the turnover, but it was the turnover where it was at the 12-yard line. And think about this. I pointed this out on Twitter, I think, on Wednesday night, and maybe we didn't discuss it right after the game. Mike Evans had made a play along the sideline where he stretched out on a third and I want to say 7 or 8, and he stretched out and he got just an, or maybe it was 3rd and 11. I can't even remember. He stretched out and he made the first down by a superhuman effort, right? And that should have been, that could have been a backbreaker. And it wasn't ultimately. Why? Because the football gods were shining down. Right? In that moment, the football gods were on the side of the Washington Commanders. And what has to happen tomorrow night is obviously something like that, if not, and I think more than something like that, right? Because that was their only takeaway. Unless I'm forgetting one. I think that was their only takeaway. I have to double check that. I'm not remembering one immediately. I mean, they came close on a number of different things. But the point being is, what had to happen was that particular spot, that particular play, right? Most importantly, yes. There's no denying that, right? But remember, again, what happens, it was 3rd and 7, by the way, where Evans outstretched to the Tampa 15 and, again, wouldn't have gotten the first down. Now, maybe they would have gone for it. I don't know. I don't think in that spot. But maybe they would have. But they get it, and you're like, oh, God, we had a stop on 3rd down deep inside their territory. We're getting the ball back, good field position, and they get the first down. And you're like, oh, here we go. It's over, right? Because at that point, it was 17-13, Tampa Bay. And we're, you know, 5 minutes into the fourth quarter, still plenty of time. But my point being is the next play, just when you thought, and this was, again, after the first 4th down conversion in the end zone, in the red zone, that goes, now, it shouldn't have. There should have been a hold on Zach Ertz or defensive pass interference, but the first 3 plays sucked. They got nothing. So you can't blame it all on a bad call. You can blame some. You can't blame it all. But either way, they get the ball back, and not only do they get the turnover that Bobby Wagner pounces on, but also they start that drive by burning a timeout, number one. Number two, they start with a zero gain. Jaden Daniels up the middle on kind of a broken play. And then they get 4 yards, Diami, Eckler, boom, 4th and 2, touchdown. So it wasn't only the turnover, but it was the touchdown combined with it. That's what you're going to need tomorrow night. And I would argue that and I think everybody understands, I would argue that you're going to need not only the turnovers, and that was the only turnover, not only are you going to need the turnover, but you're going to need the accompanying or corresponding score. Meaning, you get a break, you've got to make them pay. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Tony and Clinton next up on the Team 980. Good afternoon, Tony. How are you?
Hey, what's good, man? Hey, quick, before I give you my script, I got to disagree with you on one thing.
Shoot.
Remember, lad, you said earlier that last week was big, this week is bigger. Mm-hmm. I actually disagree with that. I think the win last week is way more significant than any win could be this week, because if we just made the playoffs and just got outed early, then I don't think we'd have felt as good about the season. But if we lose this week, I think people are still going to walk away from the season feeling amazing.
I feel where you're coming from on that, and I guess I should have clarified that. And I said something to that effect earlier this week, and you're not wrong that winning a playoff game, which they hadn't done in 18 years, is very, very, very significant. And you could look at this as icing on the cake. You can look at it as, you know, what do they say, gravy or whatever the hell people say. And I understand what you're saying. I guess for me, Tony, now that you're here and
you have an opportunity to shock the world and go to the NFC Championship.
You know, like I can't look at it as, oh, just be happy to be there and just show up. And so now I guess the perception, if you will, has changed in my mind of, sure, if you would have told me get to the second round, get to the divisional round and get blown out 40-0, damned if I cared, right? Because I didn't think that was going to happen. Well, now that you're here, you got an opportunity to shock the world.
So, look, my two things real quick, then I'm gone. That's going to be the script. They got to keep Detroit under 7 drives. Like, okay, we got to limit their possessions. 7 or 6, if we can keep the possessions. And the only way we're going to do that is
really hard to do that. Yeah, really hard to do.
Well, Tampa has 7.
I know. But it's really hard to do that against this offense and to do it 2 weeks in a row, I should say.
Well, that means we got to make them work for everything they got. If we hold the ball and we also make them work, that's possible. And last week before I got here, we got to get off the field on 3rd and 10 and crying out loud. Yeah. We've given up more 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 16.
If we
ever get this team in 3rd and 11 or 12, get off the field, man.
You're right. Didn't they have a 3rd and 11 that they allowed? I think they had a 3rd and 11 that they allowed for +12, +13 at some point in the first half. I'd have to, again, go back and double check that. But good call. I appreciate it. No doubt. You cannot. And again, if it's 3rd and 13 and you give up 12, you might as well give up the first down because they're going for it. And it doesn't have to be on your side of the field. I mean, it literally could be on their 30. They'll go for it. Right. So you have to approach this as not a 3-down-and-out type of defensive game plan or affair. This is a 4-down-and-out. This is a 4-down-and-out plan, mentality. Be prepared. Everybody knows this. There's no surprise. The only difference between Dan Campbell and I think everyone else, and again, Dan Quinn, is Dan Quinn. I highly doubt, even tomorrow night, Dan Quinn on his own 30, even if it's 4th and 1, goes for it. I can't rule it out because of the juggernaut offense that Detroit has and the mentality that a lot of coaches have. I can't rule it out, but I don't think it would happen. But Dan Campbell, he will do it, and he has done it. And I would be surprised if he didn't do it in that spot. So you have to be prepared. You have to bow up. You have to destroy the integrity of the line of scrimmage up the middle. Frank Ragnow, again, they don't have Zeitler, their right guard, he's out. You know, you have to cause chaos. You have to collapse so that if they try and slam it up there with David Montgomery, or if they try a quarterback sneak, or if they try a quick, a quick draw or something like that, they can't get it. And if you get beat to the outside, you get beat to the outside, but you almost have to overcommit to what you think they're going to do. All right, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Stevie Ray. here on the Team 980. What's up, Stevie Ray?
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you?
Beautiful day out here. Temperature's 44.
Yep.
It feels like 75.
Well, it's not going to feel like 75 for much longer. I can tell you that much.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm out here enjoying it as we speak, because I'm going to be inside watching football over the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. How to win the game. One, I really agree with the caller that talked about the game in Tampa and how much more important it was. I agree with him on that. It was a step forward for this team, and losing would have been worse than winning. That's all I can tell you. Winning is something that was great, but if we'd have lost, we'd have gone back to the same old crap that we went through. We can't beat win in the playoffs. The other thing, too, is if we lose this game, we're going up against the best team maybe in the league, and we're not there yet. So it isn't going to feel as bad as it would have if we lost to Tampa. On to wins and how to win and how to lose. One, gotta either tie or win the turnover battle. Cannot let them take the ball away from us in scoring position, and really, really need to shorten their drive or take their drives away by getting the ball away from them. So turnovers are going to be huge in this game because both offenses are juggernauts. And lastly, for the Washington team themselves, they've got to not have pre-snap penalties. They've been killing themselves all year getting down inside the red zone and dropping off getting an illegal procedure, or illegal motion, or illegal
or a holding penalty.
The holding penalties are really a killer because a lot of times on those holding penalties, our guy was gone.
Yeah.
Daniels would turn around to the guy who held and said, "Why did you hold him? I had him beat."
Well, on top of that, though, like an illegal shift or a false start is 5 yards. A holding penalty is 10.
A holding penalty is a killer, almost killer for a drive, except for Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels will turn around in a first and 20, which last year would have been a killer for drives, and he'll turn around and pick up 8 or 9 yards on the next play, and we're right back in it. So, it's all Jaden. It's what he does. Everybody wants says we got to run. Well, he's the runner. He's the best running back on this team. There's no doubt about that.
They've got to be better in that. I will say this, and I appreciate the phone call. It's good call, good energy as always. I will say this, and I love the talk about the penalties, because the penalties weren't a factor, outside of the Wiley one knocking out the big McLaurin catch, which would have gone for like 25-ish yards, somewhere in that range. The penalties weren't really a problem last Sunday night. They were a big-time problem down the stretch. So you cannot move the football all over the place, get to the 15-yard line, get to the 10-yard line, and then all of a sudden take a false start, an illegal shift, hands to the face, whatever it is. Whatever the penalty and whoever caught, you just cannot have that. Maybe once? More than once? No thanks. 150 on the Team 980. More of your calls, more of your ex-posts, if you will, at WrestleMania 621. We'll keep the game script conversation going right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, it is a feel-good football playoff divisional round Friday thing right here. We're writing a game script. We're looking at the crystal ball. How do they get it done? How do they have to get it done? Again, I think 10-0 lead. Yes, Fat Poet 10, Ben Conti, I love you to pieces. But, of course, duh, they got to score a touchdown on the opening drive. Yes. Okay, Captain Obvious, as he called me.
Well, I will say, you started that segment by saying, it's not about points. They need to score a touchdown. Well, that's the most points they can score. So, yeah, it is kind of about
points.
Well,
but his point is, of course they need to score a touchdown. Duh. But I said, with the natural run game kicked in.
Oh, no. I know where you're getting at, but right? Still.
He conveniently left that out. Conveniently left that out. And now my guy Tailgate Ted is all mad because he was like, hey, we're going to both be stuck in Detroit on Sunday together because I guess, the flight I have is like 9:30 or something Sunday night from Detroit and whatever. He's like, we can hang out. And I'm like, I just texted Ted. I was like, yeah, it sounds like a great idea. You're staying near the airport, whatever. And then I look up and he says, he's got Homer Simpson dropping through the hedges in that famous gif. He goes, I take it back. I just heard your game prediction.
And here I was about to be like, oh, is he setting up a tailgate over by the airport?
That's
hotel?
A great idea. I don't think that's happening, but that's a great idea.
Everybody
but I love
that's
Ted.
Flying home can,
I mean, who
stop
doesn't love tailgate Ted? Exactly.
Little tailgate.
I mean, we could watch the first game up is Philadelphia and the Rams. So, I mean, we could see potentially who the Commanders' next opponent is in the NFC Championship game, you know, if you smell what I'm cooking. And then you can watch, you know, the first three quarters are roughly thereabouts of the Ravens. And the Bills from Buffalo. All right, I tell you what, I don't have enough time to be fair to anybody here and to stay on track, so we'll take the break here, top of the hour. We'll reset, 2 o'clock. Still trying to connect with Santana Moss in Detroit, so we will try and do that and bring that to you before 4 o'clock right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.